Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who is joining us here for Happy Hour with Dr. T. Tuesday, as you mostly know by now, is Guest Day on Happy Hour, where we invite special guests, including Christian authors, Christian businessmen and women, and pastors to join us to talk about their latest books, share their wisdom, and to lead us in prayer. All of our podcasts now are aired daily at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday, and we post daily on Substack a little piece for you to read every day on drtenpenny.substack.com. Our Happy Hour with Dr. T is always at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. We hope by now that you've joined us to become a new Tenpenny Prime member. The membership is really what keeps us going and keeps us being able to provide all that great content to you. I write a topical white paper, record a presentation, and have a special live event every month for our Tenpenny Prime members. If you are a member, thank you so much. We are most grateful for your support. If you want to become a member, go to shoptenpenny.net, hover over the membership tab, that's shoptenpenny.net, and you can become part of our Tenpenny Prime team. We've made a big effort to make 2025 the year of knowledge, empowerment, and action. Thank you so much for your support. So before I introduce you today's special guest, Dr. Nathan Jones, the author of many books, but his most recent book, The Coming Millennial Kingdom, Exploring the Thousand-Year Reign of Jesus Christ on Earth, we're going to take a really quick break. I've read about half of this book so far. It's extremely interesting. You'll really look forward to this conversation, and you won't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch within our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Dr. Nathan Jones is a seasoned media missionary and an author and the host of Christ in Prophecy, the worldwide broadcast from Lamb and Lion Ministries. With more than 25 years of ministry experience, Nathan has become a powerful voice in digital evangelism, helping people around the globe understand God's word and recognize the signs of the times. Nathan holds a bachelor's in Bible from Carn University, a master's in management and leadership from the Liberty University, and a doctor in religious studies in evangelical apologetics. I always stumble over that word. A doctorate in religious studies in evangelical apologetics from Trinity College. He combines biblical depth with communication skills, making prophecy practical and faith accessible. The director of internet outreach, Nathan oversees a dynamic digital presence that spans television, radio, podcasts, video prophecies, blogging, and social media. He's busy. His vision is to make Christ known in Bible prophecy, understood clearly, creatively, and globally. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us this morning with Happy Hour with Dr. T.
It's a real honor, Dr. Tenpenny. I've just been excited to hear that I'd be on your program, and thank you so much for inviting me.
That's great. Well, you know, you are a co-host on the television program, Christ in Ministry, with Dr. David Regan. Is it Regan? I guess it's Regan or Reagan.
Christ in Prophecy. Dr. David Regan was our founder. He's since retired, and now our new director is Tim Moore. So we're both co-hosts on the program.
Very good. And he said, I guess I was quoting him because of what he wrote in your foreword on your book, where he said that Nathan has been gifted by God to explain the difficult concepts of Bible prophecy in down-to-earth, understandable terms for the average person to understand. You know, prophecy is a complex topic, and it's highly subject to interpretation. You hear lots of different takes on, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation. Is there a particular place that you start when you try to weave all of this together and start to explain it?
Absolutely. Well, here at Lamb and Lion Ministries, we go by the key, we could almost call it our motto. If the plain sense makes sense, look for no other sense, lest you end up with nonsense. We believe in taking a literal interpretation of the Bible, not a symbolic. We read the Bible for what it's saying. We accept symbols and literary devices as they're meant to be said, because we believe that God is trying to convey a message through the Bible, and he's not trying to bury it in myth and legend and superstition. He wants us to understand his plan for the future. And that's why we're so excited at Lamb and Lion Ministries to proclaim Jesus Christ's soon return, because we believe the signs of the times show that it is imminent, that Jesus Christ is coming to rapture his church up to heaven and eventually usher in his 1,000-year kingdom that will then go on into eternity. So that's our mission, to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's good. You know, you have a doctorate of religious studies in evangelical apologetics. What's evangelical apologetics?
Well, you maybe have noticed that a lot of apologetics people who defenders of the faith, spend a lot of time debating other Christians about the Bible or defending Christianity against atheists and agnostics and skeptics. But how do we use apologetics to reach people for Jesus Christ, to lead them to be saved? And that really appealed to me when I applied to Trinity Seminary up in Evansville, Indiana, is that they had one where you can apply apologetics to sharing the gospel. And that's something that I've been doing here 18 years at Lamb and Lion Ministries, is we use the apologetic of fulfilled Bible prophecy to show people that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. And since it's the Word of God, we can trust it. We can put our faith in what it teaches. And what it teaches is that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to get to heaven. And when we put our faith and trust in him, our sins are forgiven and we inherit all the blessings of his coming kingdom. And so that's why I wrote the book, The Coming Millennial Kingdom. It actually was my doctoral dissertation. And so thank goodness for great guys like Steve Miller, my editor at Harvest House Publishing, who could take a book at a doctoral level and bring it down for everybody to read. And he was a great blessing in doing that. And so we wanted to share the message of Christ's coming kingdom. Dr. T, you probably hear a lot of Bible prophecy teachers always talking about Antichrist and one world governments and tribulations and death and destruction. And that's only a tiny little picture of the puzzle when it comes to prophecy. 31% of the Bible is Bible prophecy, pointing to what? The coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal of Bible prophecy. And so that is what we wanted to teach here.
Well, I'm going to circle back around to that in just a minute, but I want to go back to evangelical apologetics, just because I think a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with that word, apologetics, and what does that mean, and why was that word chosen for the job that it does?
Well, apologetics simply means defense of the faith, or particularly for Christianity, defense of the Christian faith. And so when it comes to discussing our faith, sharing it with people, there's many ways to share. Particularly, I think one of the greatest ways to share one's faith is to share one's testimony. How did I become saved? And that leads people to Jesus Christ. But sometimes you get people who are a lot more academic, especially in the atheist realm, and they want to debate the finer symptoms or the finer points of Christianity. And that's where the apologist steps in. They come out and they defend. They're not apologizing for the Bible, but for some reason that word is just kind of stuck. I like to call them defenders. And yes. So they defend the faith. And sometimes when the apologetic circles, they spend a lot of time defending the faith against other Christians. And so with evangelistic apologetics is how can we take the great love letter that God gave us, the Bible, and how can we then share it with the unbeliever to lead them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior?
Yeah, that's what I meant, because it's that whenever I've heard that word, and I have a friend here in Cleveland where I live, Cleveland, Ohio, that is he's a great studier of that. He speaks on apologetics a lot, And every time he says the word, it's a weird word because, again, it sounds like you're apologizing for your faith, and that's not what it means at all. And that's why I wanted you to expound on that a little bit.
Yeah, Christians have nothing to apologize for. We have the truth, as John 14, 6 says. We have the way and we have the life, and that's Jesus Christ. And only through Jesus Christ can the wrath of God be satiated, John 3, 36, so that we can have eternal life with him. And part of that eternal life is to be part or citizens of the kingdom of Christ, the coming millennial kingdom that will then go on into the eternal state.
You know, you say you already mentioned that the Bible is 31% prophecy. That is a staggering number when you think about it. A third of the Bible is about prophecy. How was that analyzed, and how did that number come about to be able to make that stake that claim?
Well, 1,817 verses are prophetic in nature, and when you compare that to the overall verse number, what you get is about 25 to 30%. There's a wiggle room of a few percents here or there as you interpret certain passages. For instance, say Psalm 83, is that prophetic or is that imprecatory? And so how you interpret it is that few points, but I believe the Bible is either a quarter to 31% prophetic in nature. In other words, God wants us to know how the future is going to end, with him being victorious and his children being victorious through him. You know, all the other religions out there have religious books, the Upanishads, the Vedas, the Quran, the Book of Mormon, all that. None of them have Bible prophecy, particularly specific, very complicated prophecies, not some general thing that something might happen in the future, but sometimes even down to days and hours. So it's very impressive. And I think that all these fulfilled Bible prophecies, especially fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ, proves that he's the Messiah.
You know, in your new book that's coming out, The Coming Millennial Kingdom, you say that the reason for that governments fail is they don't understand the primary reason that God instituted government. Wait, so explain that a little bit.
Well, I start the book by looking at what World Atlas defines as the greatest eight, you could say empires or nations, the ones that really changed human history. And it was my surprise, it ended up being the Akkadian, the Persian or Achaemenid, Roman, the Mongol, which surprised me, but the Ottoman, the British, the Russian or Soviet, and the United States. And they're all great, incredible empires that have done so much, but they've failed at the primary reason for why human government exists. Human government exists to bring true security and justice for its people. Mm-hmm. And what do we get? We get Micah 7:3. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire, and so they scheme together. You know, Dr. T, as DOGE is uncovering more and more corruption in the United States, up to trillions of dollars being funneled into people's pockets, Micah 7:3 is right there. Even the United States, which was founded on Judeo-Christian values, has fallen into tremendous corruption. And so the question I lead with is an apologetic. It's called the problem of evil as it relates to failed human government. How is mankind looking at government that's been ordained by God completely fail us? How can we maintain our trust and faith in him? And so that's the problem of evil that this article addresses, or this book addresses. And the answer to that actually can be found in Daniel chapter 2, where King Nebuchadnezzar is given this vision and Daniel interprets it. And it's this great statue which represents what's called the time of the Gentiles, from Israel's fall until Jesus Christ returns. And it goes through a successive group of empires until finally what Nebuchadnezzar saw was this stone, which he said is not cut out by human hands, and it comes careening out of the sky, and it hits that statue and blows it up, and the dust blows away, and that stone grows and becomes a mountain and fills the earth. And that was a prophecy about the coming Messiah's kingdom. It's called the Davidic kingdom, or the millennial kingdom, or the kingdom of Christ. In other words, failed, flawed human government will end. We will finally be free of all its corruption and vices when Jesus Christ returns to set up his kingdom.
Wow. Well, you know, you say in the book that there is a new empire rising without a firm belief in inalienable rights, the foundation of religious freedom, and the freedom of speech. So where is the, with the, in the US, this new empire that's rising within the US? We've seen it for years. We've seen the woke things that have happened, you know, the transhumanism, the transgenderism, the genetic modification, the gene editing tools that have been injected into, you know, 75% of the population or more. I mean, where is all of this heading for the United States?
Dr. T, I think if anybody who knows about this global empire that's being built behind the scenes is you. You've been battling it for years. You've been canceled by them for years. We saw the entire world seem to work towards canceling Donald Trump after his first term. And so what it is growing up behind the scenes and has always been there, is you have to go all the way back to prehistory when the Lord created the angelic realm. And Satan, who was known as Lucifer at the time, was the guardian cherub over the throne of God. The Bible says he was the worship leader in the congregation of the Most Holy, but he started wishing, desiring for the angels to worship him instead. And so the Bible says pride got in his heart. He led a third of them to rebel against God, but they were cast down to the earth. Not being able to take heaven, Satan then has made his mission to get as many of us made in God's image, the humanity, to worship him instead, to eventually that the entire world would worship him. So all throughout the last 6,000 years or so of human history, Satan has been working behind the scenes, as Ephesians tells us, to build his global empire. We're finally getting into the last stages because we have the technology and the means to start building an empire through what we would say the United Nations and NATO and all these people who aren't really loyal to their country. They're loyal to a one world government, or behind that we know Satan. And the Bible tells us in Revelation that one day Satan will finally get his wish when he raises up a man who the Bible calls Antichrist. He will be elevated to become the one world ruler. Satan will possess him. And then at least for the 3.5 years of the tribulation time period that's coming, the world will worship Satan. He'll get exactly what he wants, but he won't get it for very long, only a few years.
Wow. You know, he's, you know, when you take current events and you put current events into prophecy, what are you seeing with that right now, melding those two things together?
Well, we have to, I believe, look at the big picture, the 30,000 foot view that the Lord sees. You know, we kind of get bogged down in the little battles we're in, of course, because we only have limited influence. But when God writes prophecy, this is one of the really neat things about a lot of prophecies. They're called proleptic. In other words, they're written about future events, but in the past tense. In other words, God, who's outside of time, for him, this stage of human history is already over. And so when he writes about the coming of his kingdom, in many verses, he writes it as if he's already accomplished it, because outside of human time, he already has. And so when he gives us these prophecies, he's telling us, yes, we can be assured that evil will be defeated and good through Jesus Christ will rule and reign, because in God's eyes, it's already happened. That's one of the exciting components of prophecy.
That is exciting. Exciting when you put it together like that.
Oh, yeah.
We get so focused on the day-to-day and the minuscule things that sometimes we lose the 30,000 foot view, you know, what's happening. You know,
yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, just to add to that, if we align ourselves to the 30,000 foot view that God has, it radically changes your life. The little things that we get tied down in, you know, what the Bible says, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, you know, the troubles of this world will come into focus when we have an eternal perspective. And Bible prophecy gives us that. The Lord meets us to have that so we can endure these dark days with hope for the future.
That's really good, because right now we need that kind of hope more than ever, you know, because
absolutely,
it can get really dark. You know, when you see the things that are swirling around, you read the DARPA documents and you know what they have planned out there for us to come. And with they're planning another pandemic. They're planning what's going to happen next. And, you know, as a Christian, we should care, but not care. I mean, you should be maybe aware, but not care. I mean, is that the right language?
No, I think you're right. Obviously, the Lord has us here as the church to be salt and light in this world, to hold back the tide of evil, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and his return. That's our mission. That's our purpose. And, you know, again, you're doing that so marvelously. And we here at Lamb and Lion Ministries are trying to do that as well. But we know that ultimately, the end, what skipping to the end of this tribulation time period when Jesus returns with his saints, that's us in our glorified bodies, we don't engage in battle with this Antichrist and his armies. We don't defeat Satan. We watch Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone defeat these armies by just speaking. He's that powerful. The whole armies of the world will be assembled against Jesus in Armageddon. And all the Lord does is speak and they melt before him. The Antichrist and false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. Satan is thrown into a deep pit. The armies of the evil are cast to Hades or torments, as the Bible calls, waiting for their final judgment. And Jesus Christ then prepares to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. So yeah, there's a lot of tribulation that's coming up, at least 7 years, plus the little T tribulations of our time period. But that big T tribulation, like the flood was, is God's pouring out his wrath on the earth for their sins. But as you know, when things get really bad, Christians are formed from it. People bow a knee, they repent, they turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to be their savior. And so we read in the Revelation how so many people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will come to know Jesus as their savior during the tribulation. Now, many of them will be martyred for it, but Jesus said that he wouldn't return until the Jewish people finally look upon him whom they pierced and they cry out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when they cry out that, Jesus Christ returns to rescue the Jewish remnant, those tribulation saints who've accepted Christ after the rapture, and to then set up his kingdom on his earth. That stone not cut out by human hands defeats the Gentile world powers, as the Bible calls them, and then fills the earth with his glory.
Now, I read somewhere recently, in the last couple of weeks, and I'm not sure why this even came across my consciousness, but there was maybe it was because of the new things that they've discovered underneath the Great Pyramids in Giza, you know, how deep they are and how big they are and the whole spire sort of thing. And then a lot of these underground tunnels and things that they've begun to explore that really kind of change the timelines of things, in my opinion. I'm sure that you've looked into that in your programs and you've talked about it. What is your perspective on those things?
I think that there's going to have to be a lot more digging underneath those, Pyramid of Khafre, to find out for sure exactly what's under there. Right now we got some blurry images from satellites that are going through. A lot of people in the Bible prophecy circles have been talking about it, especially Casper McLeod. If you've ever interviewed Casper McLeod,
he's a very good friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah. He's a dear man. And, you know, he's really looked into it and we've discussed it on his program, Spiritual Encounters. But I'm not sure if it really, at least for me, changes the prophetic timeline. I think what it proves is that the pre-flood people weren't a bunch of cavemen, you know, eking out a living, scratching themselves and dragging their women by their hair. That's nonsense. These were hyper-intelligent, very old people who are, if we're carbon copies of carbon copies of carbon copies, they're more the original copy. I believe they were a lot smarter than us, a lot stronger, probably a lot bigger. And so they had this ability to create all this technology that's been lost. And I think what they might find underneath those pyramids is some of that technology. So I think it totally upends the theory of evolution. And there's many reasons why the theory of evolution is nonsense, but it proves that mankind isn't improving themselves. Although we've helped a little with technology, we're actually, what's the opposite of unimproving? We're disproving, we're getting worse.
Backwards.
Yeah, it's like that movie Multiplicity, if you remember that, with Michael Keaton years ago, where he created this machine that made carbon copies of himself, and every carbon copy was dumber than the last. And so, you know, you're, as a doctor, you probably see that the genome in humanity seems to be degrading. And so the Lord needs to step in at some point and put an end to that. And I believe that we're at the last of the last days of the church age, and we're ready to get go through the tribulation, at least those who haven't accepted Christ as Savior, and the wrath of God is on them, and then into Christ's kingdom and reboot the human race, so to speak.
Is, you know, and thinking about that timeline, and I guess that's where I had read this piece where somebody did an estimate that they've estimated that from the beginning of humanity, there's been about 35 billion people on the planet over the course of, if you want to say 6,000 or 10,000 or 12,000 years, you know, I think there's a little bit of a debate on that, but it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had that. And if there's been 35 billion people in, let's say, 6,000 years, why has the Lord tarried so long? Why has there been so much birth, death, dying, destruction, war? I mean, when you read the war scenes in the Old Testament and you see 30,000 died on this day and 10,000 died on another day, why do you think that he's tarried so long to get to where we are now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, just in the last, say, 3,500 years of recorded human experience, 92% of those years have been in armed conflict. War is with 1,000 or more casualties. There's 37 countries technically at war. It's not just Russia and Ukraine, throughout the world. And so mankind has only lived just about 200 and some years of all human history without warfare. So you're right. Warfare just dominates humanity, and it's another failure of human government to end the warfare and the tragedy that comes with it. But we got to go back to Genesis and the garden with Adam and Eve and God. They had perfect fellowship with God. They walked and talked. They saw him face to face. There was no sin separating them. But as soon as Adam and Eve rebelled against God, sin broke fellowship with God. So all of human history has been about God bringing redemption to mankind, particularly through the death and resurrection of his son. And God reveals more and more of himself. Right now in the church age, we have the Holy Spirit residing in Christians. We know about Jesus from his first coming, but in the millennial kingdom, we will see the Son face to face. We will see the Shekinah glory of God, the Holy Spirit over the millennial temple. And then in the eternal state, we will finally see the Father again and have that perfect fellowship. So all of human history goes back. But to answer your question is that God doesn't want to fill heaven with robots. He wants to fill heaven with people who actually want to be with him forever. So every generation is a harvest. And so there's still a harvest yet to come. The children born of the tribulation saints will still get to choose Christ or not. And we read it, one of the tragedies of the millennial kingdom, even though there's no war for 1,000 years, there's perfect peace, that when Satan's released at the end of that 1,000 years, again, the Lord gives them the choice, choose me or choose your own wickedness. And they, sadly, many of them will choose their own wickedness. They'll side with Satan in one last attempt, try to overthrow the throne of God. There's no war in the millennial kingdom, so the Lord just sends down fire and defeats his enemies, and that's how the millennial kingdom ends. So I kind of skipped over all the good stuff and took you to the end, but I want you to see that in every era of human history, the Lord has a crop, a gathering, a choice that people make to choose him or not. He provides salvation through his son's work on the cross. And so by the time we get to the eternal state, all of human history has been one big harvest so that the Lord dwells forever with people who truly desire, who choose him. And so that's a big difference when Satan, who wants to force everybody to worship him with the Lord, he's, as our founder, Dr. Reagan, says, he's a gentleman. He doesn't force his salvation on anybody.
You know, that's so good. And that's so true, you know, about each crop. When you think about even from Moses, you know, that they had to wander around until they all died off and then they started over again.
Great example.
Like setting the example of the next generations of people to come. That's really, really a good thing. It's like a new crop, you know, that's really, really good. So with your love of history, and you talk a lot in the book about, in the first part of the book, about the founding fathers and how the founding fathers really, really embraced the Bible. And that's where our inalienable rights came from. I just have a little aside. Are you familiar with the Founders Bible?
I've heard of it, but I don't own a copy.
You should buy one.
Okay.
I'm going to advocate for that. Brad Cummings, who is the editor-in-chief of the Founders Bible, is one of my best friends. And he, you know, there's so much, it's so rich with founding fathers material. And just as a little aside of how that got started, because I've asked him, I said, Brad, how did you ever do this? And he said, well, he was actually trying to set up a meeting with Glenn Beck about, because Brad wrote the book, The Shack, it was the producer on the movie, The Shack. And he was trying to set up a meeting with Glenn Beck, and he had to go through David Barton to get to him. Well, David Barton is, you know, America's historian and has the largest private collection of original documents from the founding fathers, more than 100,000 documents there. And Brad says, I have a master's degree in church history. I didn't know any of this How could this be? We need to get this out. So that's where all the Founders Bible, all those documents and stuff are in there, are kind of woven. The verses that were used were set up against it. I think you would really enjoy having that as part of your collection. So that's just a little bit of a side. And so for the audience, if you were interested in that, if you go to thefoundersbible.com, thefoundersbible.com, and you put in DRT at checkout, Brad's even going to generously give you 20% off. And that was not intended to be a sales pitch for the Founders Bible, but it really is a way that you really, and it's, you know, Mother's Day is coming up, Father's Day is coming up, lots of graduations are coming up. So it might be a really nice gift to give somebody. And Nathan, I really think that you would enjoy it with your love of history and the way that you talk through everything. So I think you would really enjoy that.
We were very blessed to have David Barton on our TV show, Christ and Prophecy, and his knowledge of both American history and church history is incredible. I have a quote in my book, security instead of enslavement, justice instead of corruption, virtue instead of vice, and the preservation of the happiness of his people rather than the cause of their suffering. These are the godly ideals in which upon the founding fathers founded a nation. They understood that these ends rest the primary reason for why God has instituted human government. And so, Dr. T, that's why human government fails again and again, because its leadership cares often more about itself and feeding itself instead of protecting and taking care of its people. And I think the founding fathers were different than almost any, if not every nation that's ever come before them, because they turned to God and they sought what the Bible teaches a just society. They looked towards that coming kingdom. They called it a city on a hill, and they based this country on Judeo-Christian values that the Bible teaches. Unfortunately, we've given them up, I think, overall as a country, so our time is probably short, but we know when Christ's kingdom comes, all the nations of the world will join the Antichrist and rebel against him, and that includes the United States. So we know that the United States as a nation has an endpoint at some time. I hope during the millennial kingdom, as the nations are reformed, that maybe the United States will come back again. We only know that Israel, Egypt, Assyria, and Russia are named during the millennial kingdom. But my hope is that the United States will stand once again because we stood up for Judeo-Christian values.
Good. Well, this is a good place to take a really quick break. We're talking today with Dr. Nathan Jones, the author of many books, but his most recent book, The Coming Millennial Kingdom, which we're going to talk about a lot when we come back from the break. It's exploring the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth. So we're going to take a really short break. We will be right back.
There are an awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases that they come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, that helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You know, Nathan, the premise of your book really is in the title or part of the premise. You cover so much material in this book, but exploring the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth, what do you think that's going to look like?
Oh, this is the good part. You know, we can talk about tribulations and antichrist and destruction and all, but the kingdom of Christ is like the opening scene to an eternal kingdom. And Dr. T, it's all tied to a promise that God made David in 2 Samuel 7. He said, I will set up your seed after you, and I will establish the throne of the Messiah's kingdom forever. So this is a promise to King David that eventually his descendant would be the ultimate Davidic king who is promised a kingdom forever. So the millennial kingdom isn't exactly just about us as humans. We kind of make it about ourselves. It's about a promise that the Father made to the Son, that he would have a forever kingdom. And it's also tied to a promise that Jesus made not once, not twice, not just three times, three whole times in Revelation 22. He said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." It's an ironclad promise that Jesus Christ will indeed return. We can trust that. We can bank on it. It might seem like it's been 2,000 years and a long time, but the signs of the times point to the fact that Jesus will return to set up his kingdom and sit upon the Davidic throne. And that's why the millennial kingdom is often called the Davidic kingdom, because it fulfills the Davidic covenant where Jesus rules and reigns on this earth. Now, one of the characteristics you talked about is the fact that when you look at our governments today, the people are fallen, they make mistakes, or they're overtly evil. But this is the character of the king during this time. Daniel 2 says, "The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom will shall not left be to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, these earthly Gentile kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So the fact is that when Jesus' kingdom comes, it'll last forever. It has no end. No other kingdom will overthrow King Jesus. He will rule and reign. And look at the characteristics of this king. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5 says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord," or respect for the Lord. "With righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." Isaiah 42 also tells us he will bring forth justice for truth. "He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait upon his law." So I think the crowning characteristic of the millennial kingdom is the fact that our sovereign, our king, is perfect.
And then there's 1,000 years. And I was thinking about this when I was reading through your book. I was trying to put that in perspective. 1,000 years. So we're talking like from the year 1001 to 2001 is 1,000 years, you know, and all the things that have happened in there. And then what happens after that 1,000 years of that beautiful, pure, loving kingdom? Then what is going to happen?
Okay. Well, you want to skip right to the end without explaining the kingdom more, but
It's okay. I was going to circle back around, but if you want to take that chronologically, that's fine with me.
Oh, okay. Let's keep talking about the characteristics, because I don't want to give up any of the excitement of it. Because as I already told you, it ends in a failure, which is interesting, but it's not a failure of the perfect king. This is the characteristics of its citizens. Isaiah 11:9 says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, there are some Christians today who say we're living in the tribulation and the kingdom all at the same time. But is the world full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea? Or Malachi 1:11, "My God's name shall be great among the Gentiles." Is God's name great among the Gentiles? Actually, the name of Jesus is used as a curse word in every language out there. And wow. So, no, we read in Jeremiah 23:6. That Jesus will likely, because his name was a curse word, will go by a new name. It's translated the Lord, our righteousness, but in Hebrew, it's Yahweh Tsidkenu. So that's a little bit of a mouthful, but we will be saying Jesus's name will then be called Yahweh Tsidkenu. And the Bible says that he will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. You know, why are all the world nations, especially the new Pope Leo recently said that he wants to set up the Vatican's headquarters in Jerusalem? I've been to Jerusalem numerous times. It's a fine city, but it's not worth the whole world fighting over. It's because the satanic forces know that Jesus will set up his kingdom. Zechariah 1:16, "I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy, and my house shall be built into it." He says in Zechariah 8:3, "I will return to Zion and dwell where? In the midst of Jerusalem." So Brussels or Washington, New York, Moscow, they won't be the capital of the world. Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. The Lord also says that Jesus will build his new temple. He's going to have this millennial temple, which is also his throne room, his home, and he shall build it. And it's the Bible says in Zechariah 6:12-13 that the redeemed Jewish people will be a priestly people that will bring the Gentile nations up to see Jesus, Zechariah 8:23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language, so we know there'll be many languages, of the nations will grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man saying, let us go with you, for we heard that God is with you. So it's going to be a time where the Jewish people who are the anti-Semitism against them today, the satanic hatred of them will be gone, because Zephaniah 3 says, I will give you fame and praise among all the people of the world. So imagine a world where the Jewish people aren't hated, but they're considered to be esteemed. And Dr. T, this is where we fit in here. Those who are of the church age in our glorified, resurrected bodies, we will rule and reign as the administrators of that kingdom. Daniel 7:18 says, the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Same with Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. So we will be there ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ as administrators, as teachers, as law enforcers, as guides, as educators, serving God. So you have in the millennial kingdom a perfect king, a purified administration, but what do we also have? A still fallen people. And this is why I see the millennial kingdom as the opening act to that forever clause in the Davidic kingdom. This kingdom's got to last forever, is because it's the final harvest of souls leading up into the eternal state. It's also a time of great joy, of total peace. There's no war whatsoever. You're probably familiar with, they shall beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks, Isaiah 2:4. The animal kingdom will at peace. No more fearing animals or animals eating each other alive on those terrible documentaries. Humanity, those in their earthly bodies, it says, will have the days of a tree, Isaiah 65. In other words, those pre-flood lifespans will return to hundreds of years. And there'll be no satanic influence during that time because Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. Like we said earlier, he will be released at the end as a lightning rod for people to choose Christ or not. There will be a great rebellion at the end, but because there's no war, Jesus puts it down very quickly, and that's the end of the millennial kingdom. So perfect king, purified administrators, but still a fallen citizenship, and that needs to be rectified before going on into the eternal state. So that's kind of the 1,000 years in a nutshell. Now I'm ready to move on into what comes after if you'd like.
Okay, wait, stop.
That was a lot, but I wanted to give that in a precise time that we have here.
And what will the day-to-day of people living there look like? What will we be doing?
Well, some people think that we're going to live in a radioactive, earthquake-destroyed, ravaged wasteland, and that's what it will be like by the end of the tribulation. As a matter of fact, there will be, the Bible says that God will send his angels out and collect all who've survived and bring them to a valley of decision, which he calls the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and judge them. In Matthew 25, it calls it the sheep-goat judgment. Those who rejected Christ's salvation, because the Lord will make sure that everyone in the tribulation gets the gospel, the two witnesses that minister the first 3.5 years, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. He even sends a gospel angel out to share the gospel with everyone during that time. So none are with excuse. Those who have rejected Christ and taken the mark of the beast, which is a loyalty to mark to Satan, will be cast into what the Bible calls Hades or torments to await final judgment. Only those who have accepted Christ go on into the millennial kingdom. So we populate the millennial kingdom with four groups. You've got the church age saints, that's us, resurrected in our glorified bodies. You have the resurrected Old Testament saints, they're resurrected when Jesus returns at the second coming. The same with the tribulation saints. Those who've died during the tribulation and were martyred, they will be resurrected. And then the fourth group is those who are in their earthly bodies who survived the tribulation, they will go into the millennial kingdom and repopulate it. And so you have those four groups entering into there as well.
Wow. That's really interesting. I've never heard that explained like that before. Oh. That's really interesting.
Well, if you want to count five, there's still the angelic realm, which will be doing their work as well. But I think everyday life will be, Jesus is the great builder. So I don't think there's going to be really any time. We read that there's a 75-day interlude between Christ's second coming and the institution of his kingdom, where he holds the sheep-goat judgment, where he restores the earth. I mean, all he has to do is speak, and the earth becomes garden-like again. The the curse that he put on this world will be lowered. It'll still be there, but it won't be as enforced. We read about how sickness will be gone. I love, let's pull up the right verse here, is that in this time period, the sicknesses will be gone, the rejuvenation of humanity. Isaiah 33, and the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. We also read in Isaiah 35, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Well, Dr. T, I have a special needs son. He's a nonverbal autistic. He's now an adult, but I long for the day where autism is gone, where the dumb can sing. I can finally hear his voice. He'll speak to me. So I think what you talk about, where do doctors take place in the millennial kingdom? Well, sure, people will still fall and break bones and stuff like that, but I don't think we're going to have all the doctors. My daughter's a nurse. I don't think we're going to have all the nurses that we had, because the Lord will restore and get rid of a lot of those infirmities. And so it's going to be a glorious time then. I think as those of us in our glorified bodies, we're administrators of that kingdom. We help those in their earthly bodies develop the nations. And we believe we will be teachers and proclaimers of Jesus still to those people, but bring them up to get to see Jesus face to face. So there's going to be a lot to do. I mean, we're going to rebuild an entire planet and set up new establishment, but there won't be any lawgivers, because the Bible says there's only one lawgiver, and that's Jesus Christ, who will share his law from Jerusalem to the entire world.
And so all of the other cultures and all of the other religions will go away too.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I believe a lot of them will go away during the tribulation, because you only read about four religions during the tribulation. You've got this one world ecumenical kumbaya religion, which the Bible calls Mystery Babylon, that will rise up at the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The Antichrist, possessed by Satan, and his kings will destroy it and set up Satan worship for the remaining half. So you've got those two religions. Obviously, Satan worship does not allow any other religion to exist. We read about how the tribulation saints, those who've accepted Christ, will be martyred, as well as the Jewish people. So Judaism and Christianity will continue on into the tribulation, but all the other religions will be bound and destroyed and cast aside and replaced by that Babylonian religion. And a lot of people look at the new Pope and wonder, is he the Pope of that religion that's to come? Or will he play a part in it? Or will a future Pope play a part in that? But a lot of these signs of the end times are coming together. So you're right. Jainism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, it's all going away, and we will enter into the millennial kingdom with one religion and one religion own, the worship of Jesus Christ, our King.
And everyone said, hallelujah, amen.
Amen, amen, praise the Lord, yes.
That's really, it's like exciting, like you just want to celebrate that. But then you say at the end of the 1,000 years, it all goes away, right?
Yes. Yeah. We finally get to the end. Satan is released. He and his armies are defeated. The Satan is then what we read in Revelation chapter 20, that he's cast into the lake of fire. And then we get what's come, the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, is that all those who have been in rebellion against God will be resurrected out of Hades, and they will be judged. The Lord says he opens up books. There's the book of life. In other words, you were born, you're in the book of life. It also has the Lamb's book of life. Those are written, those who are saved. And if they're not found written in the Lamb's book of life, then they will be cast into the lake of fire. And Dr. T, I think that the entire Bible can be summed up in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. It says, then comes the end, when he, Jesus, delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power, for he, God, must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So that's the last one, death itself, no more dying. Now, when all these things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to the Father, him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So even though the millennial kingdom is a preview of the eternal state, the Lord finally defeats all his enemies. They're cast to the lake of fire, including death, and Hades itself, wherever that is, will be cast in the lake of fire. Jesus then hands the kingdom to the Father, and they rule into the eternal state. And that's where we get into the Revelation chapter 21 and 22, which actually in my book, I don't really get into because that's another chapter after the millennial kingdom. And actually Harvest House has asked me to write that phase. They want to call it the coming eternal kingdom. I don't know. I'm still working on the finishing the coming millennial kingdom and getting this book out. But I think my next book will be the coming eternal kingdom. This is our life. That's that final phase of Christ's kingdom, the eternal aspect of it. No more sin, no more fallenness, no more corruption. We go on into the eternal state, and the Bible has only really given us two chapters about that.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. You know, you're so obviously well-versed in every part of this prophecy and can pull it all together.
Praise the Lord.
You know, from the time I was a little girl, I mean, little girl, like 5, 6 years old, I was raised in a Christian family, an interesting Christian family. When my mom and dad got married, my dad was Catholic and my mom was Methodist. And that was back in the day when Catholics and Protestants didn't talk to each other. So when I was born, I was baptized into both churches as like the sacrifice to like pull everybody back together, I guess. But from the time I was raised in a Christian home, and from the time I was really little, I used to always say to my mom, well, what about all those little Chinese people that never heard about Jesus? Are they going to go to hell too? And, you know, it says that every tongue shall confess, you know, that I am the Lord. So that means everybody. But is it everybody? I mean, is it like all these other people like in the jungles of Africa and the places where they don't have technologies and they don't have a way to hear any of this, like the Chinese or the Aborigines in Australia, the deep embedded humanity in Brazil and et cetera. What about that?
That's one of the great mysteries of the Bible. We do have clues. We know that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That's part of him defeating all his enemies. Satan one day will bend a knee. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Margaret Sanger, they will all bend a knee to Jesus Christ one day. But they still, if their names aren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast to hell. So one of the questions is, what about people who've never heard? Well, Romans chapter 1 tells us that there is general revelation. In other words, those who can see that through the complexity of creation, that there is a God and move towards that, the Lord will provide some method for them to get what's called special revelation, where they will get the gospel to them. Now, we have to trust that God is a just God. He created justice. Part of love is justice. I mean, if criminals were able to run amok all the time, well, that's not loving to the victim. So where's justice? So we know that God is perfectly just, that God has every person, as he's made every person. The Bible says he wants all to come to know him as Savior, though we know many will not. And so what the Lord does with those who've never heard, well, we have to trust the Lord has got that in his hands, and he will handle that. I don't believe that there's a blanket salvation for everybody, other than in an age of accountability, where those children and those mentally disabled who cannot make a decision for Christ are under his hedge of protection. Maybe those people have never heard or who respond to general revelation as that as well. But I don't have an answer for you there. And I don't think you'll find an apologist who has an answer for you there. We just have to trust that God is ultimately just and he's got it all under his control.
Well, that is an answer, isn't it? I mean, that really is an answer. Well, Nathan, this has been just a delight, and I really am enjoying your book. Like I said, I'm about halfway through it. I'm really looking forward to getting to the rest of it. Where can people find your book, and where can they follow what you're doing, your podcast? I mean, I said in your introduction, you are very busy. You've got a lot of things going on. What is the best way for people to find and follow your work?
Well, we do have a website for the book called comingkingdombook.com. If they want to know more about it, just go to comingkingdombook.com. Pre-orders are available on Amazon. I learned from my publisher, Harvest House, that if you get 2,500 pre-orders on Amazon, it triggers the book to go viral in the secular book list. So the message of Christ's kingdom would get onto the secular book list. So that's what we're praying for. So folks can go to Amazon as well. If they want to know more about me, my personal website is nathanejones.com. If you want to go to Lamb and Lion Ministries, we got it right up here, lamblion.com or christinprophecy.org. We welcome people to go to our YouTube channel and watch our television show, Christ in Prophecy. Tune into your local radio station for Christ in Prophecy Radio, or you can, on most of the big platforms like Spotify, we have our podcast, The Truth Will Set You Free.
Oh, I like that. That's great. Oh my gosh. Like I said, you're busy. You have a lot of things going on and they're all wonderful. And you've written a lot of other books too, haven't you?
I have. With my good friend, Pastor Steve Howell, 12 Faith Journeys of the Minor Prophets. It takes you through the lessons that the prophets learned about their own faith and challenges to their faith. And so this prophecy edition, which is a second edition, has all the prophecies that could be found in the Minor Prophets and where on the time prophetic timeline they'll be fulfilled. And one of my favorite books is The Mighty Angels of Revelation. It has 72 angels or groups of angels found in the book of Revelation. So it teaches you angelology as well as it takes you through the book of Revelation. My co-host on The Truth Will Set You Free podcast, Vic Batista. We taught through this and then turned it into a book and has some wonderful illustrations by Shalise Stevens, who's a wonderful illustrator. And so those are the three books. Another book I've contributed to is Tracking Through Toward Tribulation with Terry James as the general editor, and Tim Moore and myself both contributed chapters to that book as well. So anyway, you can find almost all these books. Just easy enough, go to Amazon.
There you go. I never heard that word before, angelology. I've never heard that.
The study of angels, yes.
I love that. That's really good. Well, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show before we close out today. Would you be so kind as to lead us in a closing word of prayer?
Absolutely. Well, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the calling that you've put on Dr. T's life, Lord, to proclaim your word, to stand against the globalists and what's evil is being perpetrated on this world. Lord, we thank you for the reprieve that you've given the church, but we know, Lord, it's short because prophecy says that the Antichrist reign will come. But Lord, we know as short as that it will be because your kingdom's coming, and we praise you, Lord, for that. You say that only those who are citizens of that kingdom can be citizens if they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, Lord, if anyone's tuned into this program who's not accepted your great gift of salvation, who have in repentance put their faith and trust in you, I pray they will do so now and so be saved and become citizens of that kingdom. We long for your return, Lord. We long for you to rapture the church to heaven. We long for your just and gracious kingdom to be established on this earth. We long to see your face. And Lord, we praise your name and we pray, Lord, come quickly. Maranatha, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. And yes, we do. We pray that. We pray that every day. I'm sure all of us do. And so with everyone who's been here with us this morning, I'm so grateful for your support. Thank you so much for coming with us every Tuesday. And if this was the first time that you've been here, we are here every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. It re-airs at 7 p.m. on hisglory.me. We have a deep dive Bible study on Thursday. It's usually a 4 or 5 part series at the same time at 11 a.m. And that airs at 7 p.m. on Friday night on hisglory.me. So thank you to our Tenpenny Prime members. If you are already a member, thank you so much. And if you're not a member yet, we know you will be. So thank you so much for joining us. And with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether it's live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again on the next broadcast, which will be tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. at Morning Coffee with Dr. T, where you can join us for a live conversation with me. Bring your questions. It's an open forum, questions and answer. And if we don't see you then, we'll see you back here next week, same place, same time with Happy Hour with Dr. T. So Nathan, thank you so much for your work. Thank you so much for being here and sharing that with us tonight. We're really grateful for the time that we've been able to spend with you.
And it's been an honor. God bless.
Thank you so much. And to everybody else, have a good week to everybody. Goodbye and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.